For Tuesday, August 24th, it's The Early Word from the WNYC Newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, and for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC News team. Coming up, Long Island commuters, prepare for more headaches. And you'll find out just what came out of the final meeting of the city's Charter Revision Commission. We'll start with this morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
Long Island Railroad commuters face service disruptions all day today after yesterday's fire at a major switching tower at the Jamaica Queens Station. The cause is believed to be weather-related, but it's still under investigation. In a statement, the railroad said crews are working around the clock to assess the damage, but it's likely to take several days before repairs are finished. LIRR President Helena Williams' advice for evening commuters yesterday holds true all day today.
We don't want all of the customers trying to get to Penn at once thinking, oh, I better get the first train. They don't need to do that. They need to be patient, take their time, use the full rush hour, those 4 hours, to select a train.
The Port Washington branch is the only line of 11 that will continue to operate normally. During the a.m. rush, 33 westbound trains are canceled. That's about a quarter of the 144 that normally run. Expect residual delays through the day. The railroad's modified service plan for the evening commute will be the same as Monday's, providing about 60% of the LIRR's regular 120 trains departing Manhattan between 4 and 8 p.m. Customers are advised to expect no scheduled connections at Jamaica Station. At an overcrowded Penn Station, commuters mostly took the problems in stride, but Ray Rodriguez, who's been commuting on the Farmingdale line to Bethpage for 15 years, says the LIRR should have a better plan B for commuters when these unforeseen events occur.
They should definitely have a better backup system in case something like this happens, and that seems to be the problem, that there is no backup plan in place.
Many commuters learned about the service disruptions from an email alert. Anthony Sparacino is a longtime commuter. He says delays are part of life.
Things happen, so just part of what it is. The same way if you're in a car, it could be traffic. It could be a car accident. I mean, there's nothing you could do. But I don't see it that bad. I mean, it's been better the last 4 or 5 years.
The LIRR said to avoid overcrowding at Penn Station, MTA police will carefully regulate the number of people entering the LIRR section of the terminal, allowing customers in as trains become available. In an upstate GOP primary debate last night, two New York Republicans seeking to unseat Senator Charles Schumer said they both want to see the federal abortion rights law overturned, and both showed equal disdain for the idea of man-made global warming. Businessman Jay Townsend called climate change a hoax.
The scientists and the research community that had half this country convinced that it was a problem have largely been discredited.
Gary Bernstein, a former CIA officer who's Townsend's opponent, says that global warming is a manufactured worry.
I think that those that have proposed global warming over the last few years have conducted an enormous charade.
Both Townsend and Bernstein said the state should explore parts of upstate New York for natural gas using the controversial method known as hydrofracking. Both also said BP's disastrous oil leak was partly due to environmental regulations that ban drilling in shallower waters. The Republican primary is September 14th. New York One sponsored the debate, and you can hear a different slate of GOP candidates tonight in a primary debate among three men vying to challenge Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. That's at 7 on AM 820 WNYC. Here in the city, voters will get to decide in November whether to restore a two-term limit for elected officials or leave in place the current three-term cap put in place in 2008. Last night, after months of negotiating, the mayor's charter revision panel finalized the questions that will go to the general election ballot. The catch, even if voters reject the current status quo and demand a return to two terms, the referendum will still grandfather in current city council members, borough presidents, and others in their second term. They would still be able to run for a third term. Commission member Stephen Fiala says that third term is necessary to maintain a healthy mix of fresh faces and experienced lawmakers.
In doing so, we strengthen the city council and we ensure that we're not throwing everyone out in relatively short order.
But Commission member Joseph McShane said that whatever voters decided should take effect immediately. In other words, if voters go for two terms, that's it. No grandfather clause for for people in their second term.
That someone who had run for office ran with the expectation of three terms. Somehow that expectation became a right. I had difficulty dealing with that concept.
But McShane lost that fight, and the third term grandfather clause won. And that's the relatively simple ballot question. The commission also decided to ask voters a second referendum question in November, a single question that touches on several issues, like improving campaign finance disclosure, reducing the number of petition signatures needed to run for office, and more. Commission Chairman Matthew Goldstein says the current ballot doesn't have enough room to tackle each issue separately.
Cannot do that, in part, if not exclusively, because of the physical constraints that this ballot has.
The commission's final referendum questions now go to the city's law department for review before being printed and distributed so that voters can try to make sense of them before walking into the booth on election day. The owners of the Empire State Building are asking the city council not to allow development of a tower three blocks away. The building proposed by Vornado Realty Trust would be just 35 feet shorter than the iconic skyscraper's top floor. WNYC's Matthew Sherman was at Monday's council hearing.
We saw different renderings of this, and we heard different takes on whether, in Vornado's point of view, the New York City skyline is always changing. And as the president of the New York office, David Greenbaum, said, he hopes it always will change. And the owners of the Empire State Building, Peter and Anthony Malkin, who basically said that this is a real threat to the skyline that New Yorkers and people all over the world really know and love.
The city council is set to vote on the project Wednesday. Another controversy is brewing over a religious sanctuary near the World Trade Center site. Leaders of a Greek Orthodox church destroyed in the 9/11 attacks say the Port Authority is preventing them from rebuilding. George Demos, a Republican candidate for Congress from Long Island, is supporting the church. At a press conference with political and religious leaders, Demos compared plans to rebuild the church to the controversy over the proposed Islamic Cultural Center and mosque near Ground Zero.
It's unbelievable that many of our national leaders are taking many steps and efforts to help assist in building that mosque, including finding a new location for it. But at the same time, they're absolutely silent about rebuilding the church.
The Greek Orthodox Church of St. Nicholas wants the Port Authority to honor its offer made last year to spend $60 million to build a church six times larger than the original structure near the original site. But a spokesperson at the PA says the church can rebuild on the original site, but not until 2013. And finally, don't mess with Mickey. A man charged with selling secrets about Disney's finances pleaded guilty in federal court in New York. Yanni Sebag, a citizen of Morocco, and his girlfriend, former Disney employee Bonnie Hoxie, were arrested in May in the insider trading case. Authorities say Hoxie obtained information like Disney's quarterly earnings before the results were publicly released and then fed that information to Sebag, who tried to sell it to 33 investment companies. A plea deal recommends less than 3 years in prison when he's sentenced in November. Taking a look at today's calendar, President Obama has no public events, but his vice president has another full day. Joe Biden makes a Recovery Act announcement this morning. This afternoon, he'll meet with Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, the U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan, and then he'll swear into office James Clapper. He's the new director of national intelligence, overseeing the nation's 16 separate intelligence agencies. The big economic report today is the 10 a.m. release of existing home sales for July. And later today, New York will find out if it's won hundreds of millions of dollars in federal education aid. The state is among 19 finalists for Race to the Top grants. Earlier this year, the state lost out on the coveted education grants. But it has since passed a law to allow more charter schools and also designed a system for measuring teacher effectiveness that relies partly on test scores. And Mayor Bloomberg stages a photo op this afternoon at City Hall Plaza for the centennial celebration of Gray Line, that New York City sightseeing institution. And finally, today, JFK returns to Brooklyn's Grand Army Plaza. A bust of the 35th president was installed there in 1965, 2 years after his assassination, but it was removed in 2003 during a construction project. 84-year-old Neil Eastern, the Brooklynite who cast the original sculpture, was never quite satisfied with it. The new version is being installed today. Eastern is also known for memorials to Fiorello, LaGuardia, and FDR. Just some of what's happening this Tuesday. Well, before we get to the gig alert, I just had to squeeze this in for my daughter, who loves Lady Gaga. She's the newly crowned queen of Twitter. Manhattan-born and raised, Lady Gaga dethroned Britney Spears when she topped 5.7 million followers over the weekend. In her first tweet as queen, Lady Gaga professed her love for Twitter, vowed to never partake in celebrity online shenanigans, and promised always to tweet. To see Lady Gaga's video for yourself, visit our culture page at culture.wnyc.org.
How do you go about rebuilding?
And now it's time for today's Gig Alert. 5 years ago this week, Hurricane Katrina ripped through the Gulf Coast and left an indelible mark on thousands of Americans, including composer Ted Hearn, who wrote Katrina Ballads, a collection of songs which blends adventurous classical compositions with comments that were made a week after the hurricane struck. Tonight, Hearn will present his award-winning cycle of songs at Le Poisson Rouge in Greenwich Village. You can download this track on our culture page. Click on culture at WNYC.org.
It doesn't make sense.
And you can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Tuesday.